This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm coming to you live from Fort Morgan, Alabama, here on the Gulf of American coast. I guess I should say the Gulf of America's coast. So we're down here. George Ruggiero is producing the program for us. He's back in studio. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Howdy, Jeffrey. How's it going down there?
Well, my wife is sitting next to me with a glass of rosé and a Disney puzzle. So that kind of tells you where the rights are right now as we await for our daughter to wake up. They're about to go do some outlet shopping, an absolute staple of any Southern Gulf Coast vacation experience. It's the afternoon shopping at the outlets. So.
If you didn't hit the outlet while you're on vacation on the Gulf Shore, did you even go?
I mean, many are asking that question many, many times. My company, as he is every Tuesday and Friday here on the program. He, of course, the host of VSiN Primetime. You can also hear him on VSiN's college football, college basketball betting podcast, the betting tailgate shows, which air on the weekends at 9 a.m. Central Time. Download the VSiN Watch app. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
What's up, man? Yeah, you are coming to us quietly on that vacation. Get that nap going on.
I don't know if it's quietly. It's one of those weird things where I thought escaping. I have horrific allergies, and I thought escaping, like, if you look at on the map of the United States, for what I'm allergic to, I basically live in the worst possible place for me. So I kind of thought escaping down to the Gulf would be good for me. Has not been good. And, you know, it's like last night I woke up thinking I had strep throat, but no, I was just really snoring so loudly. My wife hit me with a pillow at least twice. I think there was probably a third time that she tried to play off, but nonetheless, we for sure had two guaranteed times, so I sound worse than I feel. You know what I mean?
That's good.
Yeah, so that's a positive. I was also thinking this. So, DC DMV guys, like Mark, what was y'all's, like, everyone vacation? Was it Dewey Beach? Where was the spot that everyone kind of went to?
So yeah, there's a cluster of beaches out on the Delaware or Maryland side. It's all on one road. So there's Rehoboth. There's Dewey. Dewey's more of the kind of party town.
Yeah, it's the college spot.
There's Bethany. That's where I went and still go to this day. My folks still have a house there. And then there's Ocean City. So those are the big towns up and down Route 1 there to go out. Yeah, but I remember the first time I ever took my wife to Bethany Beach, Delaware. And she's like, why do you know everyone in this town? I'm like, because it just is the D.C. area just move to the beach.
It's the same thing. It was the same thing. Memphis. So Kimmins Wilson, who basically his claim to fame was starting Holiday Inn, and that started in Memphis. And basically they were one of the first like people to really popularize and develop the Florida Gulf Coast. So like Destin, Sandestin, like kind of like Destin all the way to Panama City Beach. Like if you go down like during a certain period of the calendar, that's just Memphis South. But now we're a little bit more west. We're like on the Alabama side. So I'm not really in my familiar element. But there is something about like you just pull up down here on this Gulf Coast, and like you see the souvenir shop, you see the fried seafood spots that all the like the names may be different in different towns, but like it's just there's something comforting about something so trashy that I just absolutely love, and it makes me feel happy when I'm down here.
Jeffrey, have you hit a Ron John's yet?
So I'm trying to make that. I was more of an Alvin's Island guy myself.
Okay. Yeah,
historically.
Yeah.
There's a new one that's popped up down here. Have you heard of this? The Purple Octopus? I was driving around
today.
That's
new to me.
That was new to me. But, I mean, my daughter at some point is going to have a airbrush T-shirt with her name on it. And it's like Daddy's Girl or something really, really trashy. Like, I mean, I'm going to make sure she leaves
at least
with that.
Sounds terrible.
Win in Rome.
Yeah. Yes. No. Yes, Tim, it is definitely a 100% win in Rome thing. Like you can like this truly is the redneck Riviera, like Gulf Shores, Orange Beach through Panama City Beach. Like there's lots of places that claim to be the redneck Riviera. I will stump and say like, damn it, this is the redneck Riviera. It's as good as it gets.
Enjoying yourself though?
I'm having a great time. The only thing that's kind of weird, like I kind of viewed this as. I'm just going to like get caught up on sleep, and I feel like I have been sleeping, and I feel more tired than ever. So I don't know what that says about me as a human being. I don't know what it also probably says that I definitely have sleep apnea, but you know, we're just going to ignore that. So overall, having a good time. Everyone's having a good time. So there's a few things that I wanted to discuss, because maybe this is as I look over to my right and I'm watching reruns of Seinfeld on Comedy Central. And there's been a few things that I'm like, what's happening here? And I kind of wanted to discuss that with Tim. So there's a few that I wanted to start with. I want to also get into the NBA playoffs. We'll get into the list to start hour number two. Also, we'll at some point discuss the future of college football or college athletics, at least that seems to be getting decided, I guess, here in the next week or so. As the house settlement rolls on and whether or not schools are going to yield on roster limits and whatnot. We'll get into all the reporting that Ross Dellinger and more have done. But I think I wanted to start first here, Tim, with this one important topic. I need everybody to stop debating whether or not 100 people can beat a gorilla. First off, it's April. That stuff comes in July. There's still sports on the calendar. Why are we debating? Why have people tried to push this debate up this early? That is wrong. That does no place. It's still April. We still have playoff sports going on. Why are people trying to make this happen right now?
I'll be honest, man. I think I first caught wind of this like 5 minutes ago. And
George, do you have a good answer? Because didn't you say Jason and John were debating this?
Yeah, they were talking about it yesterday, and I've seen it floating around. Why did it come up? That's a great question.
I saw
should it have come up? I don't.
I saw an internet video. I think this weekend, like in the midst of whether or not Shador was paying for his sins, whether or not Shador was a victim of racism, whether or not Shador's just not that good. If you just were flooded with all the Shador content, apparently this video popped up. I don't know if it started on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, but I just saw throughout the course of all the Shador discourse, this one thing popped up, and maybe it popped up as a response to everybody being sick of the Shador stuff. But the main important thing here is that's fine. We can have this debate, but this debate cannot happen at least until baseball's All-Star weekend. Are we in agreement?
I'm with you on that. It's not time.
We got too much going on, man. Yeah.
Yeah, we have multiple playoffs still going on. It's just absolutely. All right, way too much. All right, now let's get to one of the topics of the day, because we really have to ask this all-important question. Over on X.com, X, the everything app, Ja Morant has tweeted, "Be careful what you wish for." I believe that was yesterday afternoon, right after we got off the show. So, of course, the question is, what is happening here? And, Tim, you had asked me this And so I'll give you at least the theories that I think are reasonable. And George, if I, by not being local, if this week, if you think I've missed anything, feel free to chime in at the end. All right. So number one, I think the obvious one to point to would be the the aggregators tweeting out what Tim McMahon had said yesterday on the Hoops Collective podcast, or Hoop Collective podcast, the ESPN podcast with, I believe it's Wendy, Tim McMahon, yeah, and I believe it used to be Zach. I don't know. Did they get a third guy?
Yeah, it's Tim Bontemps.
Okay, so the Tims and Wendy and Wimby, yep. Or Wendy. Quote, there's a lot of whispering and rumbling, end quote, around the league regarding Morant potentially being available on the trade market. And, of course, that's picked up by the aggregators, and then it just becomes law. So, for the record, we have no context in what degree it was said. We have no context beyond you just this quote. And then it also reminded me, George, was it Howard Beck around the All-Star break that he was doing? I think Howard was doing one of the Ringer's live podcast, or he was doing somebody's live podcast.
Yes.
And it was at the All-Star game, or it was All-Star weekend, and whoever's show he was on was really goading him in, give me some gossip. And Howard, who I consider to be the utmost professional in terms of a NBA reporter, like he takes the job very seriously, he believes in journalism and reporting, he kind of like weighed in. He's like, I want to stress that I'm not reporting this. You've never seen me write this. But he stressed, here is something that one executive keeps telling me and it won't go away. And it was some version of this. It was along the lines, Tim, of, hey, if Memphis flames out in the first round, watch out for the Grizzlies. And it's also important to keep the context of this was the week, I believe it was maybe 2 weeks. So Super Bowl week is when Luka gets traded. And so the All-Star weekend, I feel like, was either a week later, or maybe 2 weeks later. But keep in mind where we were mentally, which was, is the Luka trade going to be the beginning of something? And I really think the context of what Howard was mentioning that an executive told him was along the lines of, hey, if Luka can be traded, Ja Morant can be traded. So we have that possibility, like that kind of, to me, like, I don't know if this is an extension of that, if this is expanding on that, if this is, well, it just rhymes with that, or, hey, it's something that sounds like that. I think it's also important to note, I don't think Ja Morant would have seen this, but Matt Hrdlicka is a guy that, while Matt is maybe not the most widely read Grizzlies beat writer, and he's not even really a beat writer because he's not local anymore. He used to be local, but he is a guy that many people that are smart on the Grizzlies read him. Like, he's not like the ultimate source, but he's the source for a lot of people that are sources. Does that track? Do you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah, no, I got you.
Okay, so Matt this weekend had a column basically pontificating of, if the Grizzlies move Ja, here's why. And it wasn't like a, it didn't come out and like, it wasn't definitive. It was more or less along the lines of, here's why you would do it. But it was not, here's what I would do. Also on their own in-house media, CJ Hurt, who joins the program on Wednesdays, had mentioned his disappointment with Ja Morant and the other stars that throughout this playoffs. Everything that CJ had said was completely fair, in my opinion. And also, CJ had said it on our airwaves, so it didn't take me by surprise. But the clip that I had seen has now been removed from the internet. Now, there's a state media aspect of that, and I'm not trying to get CJ in trouble because I like what CJ says, and I think he should not be silenced. With that being said, when you work for state media, you know how this goes. So those are the possibilities that come to mind. George, can you think of anything else perhaps that I'm missing?
Jeff and I kind of took our stab at reading the tea leaves this morning, and I pretty sure this is just about, we took a good 10 minutes trying to skirt around this, which is the most likely response that this is making. I so even really tried to tell, spin zone it. You know, I took a tell your story to a new level. It's like, ah, he's talking about his new shoes. And, yeah, I don't think that went over well with Jeff.
I do think he's talking about be careful what you wish for and the whole, you know, trade front whatnot. But I think, Tim, the thing that matters the most to me is, I guess I had a very different interpretation of Zach Kleiman did a 25-minute exit interview on Sunday. And I felt like when he was asked about, and he really wasn't even asked necessarily specifically about John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr., he started basically just kind of going off in his own direction and making points. My interpretation of what he said was he made it very clear to me that I'm in the John Morant business. And he kind of made it more open of, if you want to talk about the other ones, maybe we can talk about the other ones. But he cited the relationship, the growth, it's stronger than ever. Like, I thought he was making it very clear, there's one person that's non-negotiable, and it's John Morant. The others were a little bit more negotiable. So in terms of what's happening here with John Morant, I do think you maybe have gotten a taste of it having been, you know, been on this program for as long as you have now. No matter how much Ja says he's not online, he's very online. He never escapes it. And so we just kind of are used to living with this. I would say, though, I've not wavered from my stance of I'll believe that they're moving Ja Morant when I see it.
You know, it's funny because we were texting back and forth, and I do a radio show. I'm a part of a radio show in Milwaukee, and I told the two hosts, and I told them, be ready, because you know what's coming this offseason. Because of the Dame injury, the Giannis trade.
I don't even think they waited till the offseason. It felt like, right, there's still technically games in the playoffs.
I mean, they're not even eliminated yet. It feels like they are, because Dame is done, and they got curb stomped the other day. They play tonight. But that's what, I mean, look, the NBA, love it or hate it, they thrive on the storylines, and at some point, you would imagine that this could build to more of a discussion, but, I mean, I haven't heard anything about Ja Morant being traded, not to say that it's impossible, because no one in their right mind thought Luka Doncic would be traded, and he ultimately was, right? So anything is possible after the Luka trade went down. But, yeah, I don't know if it was just one thing that ultimately kind of got in Ja's ear and he thought more of it, or if this is louder than we anticipate. But from everything I've gathered and just talking to you about it, it doesn't feel like these Ja trade rumors are legitimate. The Giannis one is going to be loud. I don't know if the Bucks are going to want to do it, and I don't know if at some point Giannis is going to say, I want out. From my understanding, he hasn't said anything yet, and once again, like you pointed out, the season is still technically going on for them, but that one's going to get loud because Dame's out next year. This roster has really no flexibility moving forward. They traded for Kyle Kuzma. That's been a disaster. They don't have a first-round pick, or they don't have their own first-round pick for like 5 years. Now, some of those are pick swaps, so they'll ultimately pick. But, yeah, they are what feels like in a bit of dire straits there in Milwaukee, and it might be done. I don't think that's the case in Memphis at all.
Yeah, I think there's a few things here. I think we keep saying now that Luka has been traded, anything's possible. I still keep going back to the same point that I made to you back in February when Luka got traded. I thought there would be this wild rush to judgment of this is what how it's going to be. And I'm going to go back to what I said then. Until I see somebody else do something the equivalent of trading Luka Doncic, you know, I guess what would that be? Because I wouldn't even put trading.
It's kind of like the Deshaun Watson contract when he signed that and was like, oh, this is going to spark all
like
this
when people thought that
money.
Was going to be the, oh, this was going to be the cost of doing business was the guaranteed contract. No. Like, who is, I'm trying to think of the young guys because, like, if you move Zion, I don't think that's the equivalent. Like, Zion, there are reasons to move Zion. And honestly, I don't think it would be the same with Ja. I think it's different moving Ja than it is with Zion because I think Ja has proven that he can be more impactful on winning than Zion has. But it honestly would be like, let's see.
Ant?
Yeah, because, like, who's, like, someone in between, like, Wimby and Ant? Because it also needs to be, like, someone on the... Like, I think that's kind of the problem is, like, Luka presented this... Who the heck... Like, what is even the example? Guy makes... What, in six seasons, he had made five first-team All-NBAs? Like...
Yeah.
He'd made the finals. He'd made the conference finals. And all, with rosters that we've never seen. So it's like... Until somebody does something that I would deem to be in the same ballpark again, I'm still going to treat it exactly like I did at the time, which is this was an organization, a person making a decision that no one else would make. Maybe it works out for him. Most likely it seems like it's not, but maybe it does, and he can be crazy like a fox. The thing with Ja is I think Ja is going to go back to the – it's like the good old-fashioned – I think Ja and Giannis are similar in this. I think the Grizzlies are keeping Ja until Ja says, I don't want to be a Grizzly anymore. And I think the Bucks are going to be doing the same thing because you're in the same spot of what choice do you have? The one that I started to notice that I think is also going to get a little loud, but they're also very much still in a competitive series. I can't wait for people to try. They're going to try to get Jokic out of Denver again this year.
Well, they got to find a new head coach I don't know, from what I gather, I think Adelman's got a legitimate shot to keep that job. But, yeah, I mean, if you're Milwaukee, you're not trading Giannis unless he's like, I'm out, right?
Hang on for dear life, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a generational superstar who's already won you a title, won multiple MVPs, and you're Milwaukee. Look, I love the city. I do work there. It's a beautiful town. But it's not
criminally underrated. I will go to the grave. Criminally underrated.
Oh, I agree. It's like a mini Chicago. It's awesome.
Yeah, and you can get around. It's not like, you know,
food's
good. You get the nice parts of Chicago. The lake is beautiful. Food's good. Like all that.
But it's not, as we know, not a typical destination for free agents that just want to go to Milwaukee, right? So, but look, outside of and I don't mean to spin this into a Giannis thing, but I think it does come home with Ja. Which is outside of Giannis, like, what was that? The summer they traded for Dame, when he kind of indicated, like, hey, you better do something. And I forget who...
I think, correct me if I'm wrong. I think the circumstances were he had the Supermax extension in front of him, but he hadn't signed it. And then I think you're right. Like, he went on... I can't remember if it was, like, a public event or whatnot, but he kind of, like, applied some pressure of, like, something needs to happen, and then like a week later, Dame gets traded.
Right. This is their roster moving forward, unless somebody magically hits. And look, Giannis magically hit. Let's be honest. I mean, he was a 15th overall pick, a skinny dude from Greece, and he grew to 7'2 and to become a absolute freakazoid. So, you know, maybe they get lucky again, but yeah, I don't think... Unless Giannis applies that pressure, which is certainly possible, I don't think Milwaukee's going to openly shop him. They're not going to go on a campaign like Nico Harrison did, which was, oh, you know, defense was championships, and we had to make this move. Like, so I think to your point, you're right. And then spinning it back to Ja, we get this tweet today, but outside of that, it's not like we've really heard anything of his displeasure about Memphis, right? Or the organization necessarily.
No, I think that's fair. I think it's also legitimate. Like, I think the organization, has probably enabled him a little too much. Like, I think some of the issues that Ja has actually dealt with, I think, were somewhat preventable. With that being said, they weren't prevented, and here we are. But overall, yeah, I mean, I'll say this. If you told me Ja Morant got traded and Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane didn't, I would be surprised. Like, I think that they clearly, and they being Zach Kleiman, I think he clearly established on Sunday, I may not be in everyone in the Jaren and Des business, I think he clearly established I'm very much in the Ja Morant business. And, like, I think it's one of those things that sometimes it you kind of think of it as not consequential or not pertinent to the conversation. As much as Ja feels like he's not a part of the NBA conversation at large right now, he was still top 10 in jersey sales this year in Memphis. And by the way, it's not like he had like an unbelievable year. Like, I think sometimes you have to take a step back and recognize the context of what that means. Is like, for a NBA team that is in a market that is undesirable, the fact that you still have somebody that fits into the top 10 jersey sales, like, that's a different caliber of star than we're used to seeing. And then I kind of think the other thing that, Tim, I wanted to discuss is, I think it felt like for a while we kept tricking ourselves into it. I'm not saying it's Memphis Grizzlies fans or it's Thunder fans or fans of teams in bad markets. I think we started kind of convincing ourselves that, hey, if you build a good enough team, other players are going to flock there. And maybe it's true for other sports that are maybe like ring chasing at the 11th hour. But I still think what has been proven is guys that are in their primes, this idea that they're going and hunting like the best roster, like, it's just categorically false. Like, they're still flocking to the best markets. I mean, I guess maybe the best example you would say is LeBron when he went back to Cleveland.
Yeah, but that doesn't really count.
Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was also kind of like rewriting your own story. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and LeBron's calculated enough. But, like, I guess what people would say, Paul George in Oklahoma City, but, like, I don't know. I just didn't feel like that was, like, peak Paul George. I've also...
Didn't he get traded there?
Did they make the moves for him, or did he sign?
Well, he got, if I remember correctly, and feel free to remind me at one Tim Murray, I think he got traded there, and then he re-signed, and then what, a year into it, was like, I want out, I want to go to the Clippers. Was that ring a bell?
So, yeah, I couldn't remember if he agreed to get moved there. Like, I never know, like, was it a no trade? He agreed to get moved there. He had another shoulder injury. They had a playoff series. I want to say maybe it was with Dame in Portland. Like, it went seven. It was a good early round playoff series. And then basically he's like, I want out. And then if you actually, like, follow the breadcrumbs, it's like they've turned Paul George into this roster that they have now, which is, like, truly insane.
Yes, that's right. Before he got traded to OKC from Indiana, I think he made it known that he wanted to go to SoCal and then re-signed there anyway, but within a year of re-upping that deal, he gets flipped to the Clippers for SGA, Gallinari, handful of picks, and now...
And there's some people that would claim he kind of set the precedent of guys that were eligible to sign the bigger contract, hey, just sign it at the place that you don't want to be, and then you'll get out a year later. Like, I think some people would point to he's the beginning of that. I still, though, think, like, the larger point for me is that I think we lied to ourselves thinking, like, oh, you build this great roster and players are going to flock there. No, they're still doing the exact same thing that they've always done. They're going... The places that they want to go are the destinations, and they're not even necessarily doing that per se. Like, I don't know about you, but does anyone really want to flock to Miami right now?
But I know, and obviously the Jimmy Butler situation was not ideal for them, but you think back to the roster that LeBron had in his final year, and right. I know forever it'll always be he should have never left. I mean, Booby Gibson, J.J. Hickson, Big Z, Wally Zerbiak, Anderson Varejao. To your point, right, when he came back, Kyrie had been drafted there. They traded for Kevin Love. It is never to your – it's a great point because you don't think LeBron was trying to get guys to go to Cleveland? Of course he was. But it wasn't really that successful. And he was – the greatest player in the world when he was there at a young age, you know?
So. In the absolute, like the longest period of his prime, he was starting his prime and like his whole career in his prime was going to be there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens in Oklahoma City, right? I mean, a lot of those pieces they brought there via either trade or draft, but not believed to be a desirable destination, even though they have a great fan base and a great crowd. But that seems sustainable, but that's a lot in large part because of what they've done to build it up and hitting on a ridiculous trade with the Clippers and SGA becoming from a pretty good prospect to an elite superstar in a couple of years.
Yeah, and then I think the other aspect of this, and this is kind of like, to tie it back to the Grizzlies, I think we keep doing this move now of when a team has a really young core and they're in the playoffs, we're like, all right, well, this is their first crack at it. I think what you oftentimes go back and you realize is sometimes that might have been their best crack at it because they had enough guys that were cheap that they were able to have the amount of depth to fill in the holes that maybe they didn't have. Like, for instance, if the Thunder don't have this many guys on young, cheap contracts, mainly Chet and Jalen, they're not getting Hartenstein.
Yeah.
But they had a clear deficiency last year. Like, they were a poor rebounding team. They were able to offer Hartenstein the amount of money that nobody else could, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, they're here. This can't, like, last forever. And the same thing was, like, true for when the Grizzlies – in 2022 when they finally like get to second in the West and they're like a credible threat and they push the Warriors as far as anyone did, you kind of look back and you're like, maybe that was your best roster because you had Ja, Dez, and Jaren all on the cheap deals and you could afford the depth that you had around them, and those teams absolutely crushed people with their second unit and that gave them the depth that they didn't have now. And I think maybe that's the deal, is like you think these young teams, like it's going to last forever and this runway's going to last forever. And that's like not necessarily true. Like you do have to, you have those core of guys, but you do really have to be able to build around them. And I think where the Grizzlies struggle, and this is kind of the point that like I'm talking about with the market, is it's tough to get the type of veteran that you would need to add. Like, it's kind of tough to get them here, and it's where, as much as I've grown disillusioned with Zach Kleiman in the last 24 months, I do sympathize with him. I don't think it's super easy to build a roster here, and I'm not saying like woe is me. Like, I think they've made poor choices. I think they've let more talent leave than they've brought in, but like, show me, I guess that's the deal. Like, other than Oklahoma City, who might literally be the best at it of anyone in any sport, like, who really has figured out this CBA and retooling around it? Because what we've kind of seen is, like, teams go up and make a run in this last 5 years, but, like, who's consistently been the best of the best every single year? Like, is there Boston? And Boston, to me, you have to throw out because Boston has decided, hey, we're going to go, like, no one else is willing to go over the second apron. Like, they basically just said, we're just paying everyone. And so, like, to me, I put them in a different category. but it's been really hard to be consistently good every single year.
No doubt. I mean, look around the NBA right now. I mean, the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks were in the 2021 NBA Finals, right? That was 4 years ago. The Suns are a disaster, and the Bucks are one loss away from their second, was it their third consecutive first-round exit?
Oh, God, is it? I was trying to think. I was like,
I mean, they won in 01.
And Budenholzer got fired.
They got Jimmy Butlered in 23. They lost to the Pacers, I think, last year. So, yeah, this would be their.
Yeah, and that was that first round?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would be the third straight because Budenholzer got fired because of it. Then they, last year, they had the coaching switch halfway through to Doc, and they got out, bounced the first. Yeah, this would be their third straight first round exit. Yep. In the East, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And Cleveland has kind of, you know, they've done a good job. They've made a big trade, right? I mean, it's funny to think about a couple of the trades in hindsight. The Donovan Mitchell trade, everyone assumed he was going to New York, to the Knicks, and the Cavaliers are like, nah, forget that. We'll make the trade and see what happens. And they've made him happy enough. And that's sometimes what you need to do, right? You look at SGA, you look at Donovan Mitchell. These stars that you think would never want to be in these, you know, not major markets, but you build a roster
and
around
maybe
them.
Maybe you risk it like with Kawhi and Toronto, where Toronto obviously wanted to have Kawhi beyond.
Sure.
But they at least made the decision of, hey, we don't know if we'll keep him. To me, it's the same mindset of, we don't know if we're going to keep him forever, but at least if he comes here and has a good experience, we've got a better chance. Like I think those are like similar mindsets.
And I think anyone in Toronto, and speaking of Toronto, they win that title, and they've been kind of a disaster since. But it's totally worth it, right? At the end of the day, you're wanting to win titles, and they were able to win a title.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get into some of the actual basketball that we've been watching, as well as a couple other college sports notes. So we will do that when we come back. But before we do that, I want to remind you that Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy your diamond engagement ring because you get more choices. Robert Irwin Jewelers has a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. If you can dream it, Robert Irwin Jewelers can make it come to life. They can make your engagement ring from something as simple as a picture or even a drawing. And you can also do so with peace of mind because every custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers is risk-free and easy, and it comes with the mint-to-be guarantee. That's a 365-day, no-questions-asked return policy. You can always have it your way at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Don't forget about the free ring sizing for life, as well as Robert Irwin Jewelers' free jewelry spa service for life. You can also take advantage of great financing options like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. With over four decades of experience in the jewelry business, Robert Irwin Jewelers has become a trusted name for generations of families. Five locations, including Perkins Extended in East Memphis, Bartlett Town Center, as well as the South Lake Center in South Haven, and two locations in the Little Rock area. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can shop in-store online at rijewelers.com. When we come back, let's talk some NBA. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim. I think the thing that is interesting to me, it's like once the team that you're following gets bounced from the NBA playoffs, it feels like that there's a period of decompression where you have to like talk yourself into, all right, it's going to take a little bit of time for me to get locked back into it. But I don't know. There's something about the Rockets-Warriors series that I find interesting. And it's not just, obviously, the Warriors aspect of it. But I think it's also this idea of, are we... Because, like, I was thinking about last segment when we were talking about all these teams. And one thing that I found fascinating about the last 5 years is who is the league going to belong to once the LeBron, Steph, Durant era ends? Because if you go back and you look like historically throughout the decades, the league usually belongs to about three or four guys. And I think it feels like it's still Jokic at this point, And I think we would have honestly thought Jokic, Giannis, maybe Wimby. But, like, do you feel comfortable, maybe Luka? Like, but, you know, every guy that we're talking about here only has one title so far, and not that that's, like, anything to sniff at. I'm not diminishing their accomplishments. But do you have, like, somebody that you would plant your flag for the next decade and be like, I think the league goes through this person?
So I guess define that, because, you know, obviously with Steph and LeBron, they each have four titles. Golden State was an absolute juggernaut for, you know, a 5-year stretch. And then I will say, I think over time, the 2022 title is going to get looked at pretty positively. Like the fact that they kind of came back, they had some down years, they had injuries, and then the original three of Draymond, Clay, and Steph won the title again against the Celtics. But as for...
I agree. I think it's going to get viewed. Like I said in the time, like, I think, and maybe I'll eat my words here, but like, I think that's going to get viewed as like Tiger Woods in 2019 winning the Masters, Jack in 86 winning the Masters, where it's like you realized greatness was summoned once again. Mm-hmm. And the guys that truly had greatness within them, like, they were able to put it together. Like, I don't think of those as like fluky, but like you realize, like, okay, it's not sustainable maybe for the next few years, but it is a reminder of all-time greats doing what all-time greats do.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of had, I don't want to say written off Steph, but I don't think many believed he would get back to the mountaintop again, and he did in 2022. Yeah, I don't know, because I think Jokic, Jokic is the best player in the world. I'm not ready to count them out over the next handful of years. I think they'll do some moves to kind of revitalize things there. And even in a year where they fired their coach, they're still, you know, in the 4-5 spot, and they were only, what, a couple games back of the 3 spot. But I do.
Well, and I mean, honestly, they're going back home now. They've after the win.
Yeah, I mean,
after the win, like, they still have home court advantage. And again, I think the Thunder are the best team, but I think they did the Grizzlies in the diminished version of the Grizzlies the second half of the series. And I'm not saying like, oh, if Ja plays, the series is different. No, but they did do some things that gave me a little pause of, are they really as good as I think?
Well, and, you know, going back to Jokic and the Nuggets, to your point, right, the betting market still likes the Clippers. They're still a favorite to win the series despite not having home court. They're a favorite tonight against Denver on the road. I think most of us believe they're the better team, the Clippers, that is. But here we are. They blew game one. I wouldn't say blew game four, because they were the ones who were down by 20.
Yeah, they were chasing, but like...
And if that goes to overtime...
How does that play happen?
I don't know. I mean, it was such a horrendous shot by Jokic, and just Gordon being the athletic freak that he is, he's there and dunks it home just in time, because I think we all would probably believe that the Clippers win that game in overtime, right? In that
based
arena.
On the way that... like. Based on the way that, like, I just feel like when you give up that kind of lead on the road, like, had that game been at home, like, maybe, but it's like on the road, it felt like all the momentum was
Jokic
just on.
Was gassed. Jamal yes. Murray was gassed. But to answer your question, I think it's a fun discussion to have, because who knows what the Lakers will do around Luka, but
right.
you've got Luka in LA now for what seems like the foreseeable future. You've got the best player in the world in Denver. Giannis, as we discussed in the first segment, who knows where he'll be. He's now, what, 31 or something like that?
That sounds right. Let me double
check. Then, you know, and then George mentioned Ant, and I think the league wants it to be Ant. And the way that he played, man, on Sunday afternoon... And I think we talked about it last year. We anointed him so quickly because I think we wanted to, right? Because he's, you know, he's got personality, he's American, and it's like, all right, here's our guy. And it might have been too soon. And it still might be too soon, but you see the glimpses there of what this, you know, I'll call it what, it, what this kid can be. I mean, he's still incredibly young. He's what, 20, he's 23, he'll be 24 this summer. Like Anthony Edwards, if you want to hope for an American, I know it's hard to do considering they're in the Western Conference, I would think Ant is going to be that guy, but I think all that's to be said, it feels like we're in this era where I don't think there's going to be the Bulls of the 90s, the Lakers and Celtics of the 80s, the Lakers of the 2000s, the Warriors of, you know, the teens. It feels like right now is what we're kind of headed into, which is a lot of parity and some teams having off years, right? Also, is Cooper Flagg going to be the guy, right? Like, he's only 18, 19, but like, he could be the next superstar in the NBA.
Well, it's like you have to leave room for greatness. Like, it's the whole idea of...
And I didn't mention Wemby.
Yeah, no, I was literally about to say, like, when we talked about the Spurs coming into the season and we're looking at the West, I always left open the idea of, well, you do have to leave room for greatness. Like, if this guy really is going to be what he's projected to be, you have to accept that that's a possibility. The thing that I find interesting about this discussion, and it kind of stood out to me, and I know it can be prisoner of the moment, I know it can be recency bias. I want to come out and say, I'm planting my flag, I do not have the SGA gene. I think he's a very good scorer. I think he's a extremely good player. I'd really like to have him on my team. Tim, I don't think he's the best player on the Thunder.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
I think legitimately, the guys that killed the Grizzlies were Jalen and Chet.
Chet's insane. If you haven't watched him in person, it's ridiculous what he can do.
They killed the Grizzlies. I'm telling you, I don't have the SGA gene. But I also would point out my defense of that would be, we just went through all this list of guys, and this guy's going to win the MVP. And by the way, I want to be very clear. I have no problem with him winning the MVP. I just don't. He's not in that category of what it really boils down to me. It's like, if this guy has the ball, I'm terrified. To y'all's point about Anthony Edwards, I would be more scared with Anthony Edwards with the hand needing one shot than SGA. Especially in the playoffs when you need the whistle.
Right. I think when you play that game, the who terrifies you with the ball in their hands, if you're removing the older fellas, right, the Stephs, the LeBrons,
right, that's what, yes,
KD. I mean, it's Jokic, because I don't know what he's going to do.
I agree. Because also the idea of more of a big man, even though he's obviously, I mean, honestly, I think if you're doing that, though, it's Jokic and Luka. Right? Like, if you're sitting there and your team's on the other end, like, is it Jokic, Luka, Ant? Is that, because don't you think it's, I think the thing that's interesting is, it's not Giannis either, right? Even though Giannis might be the single biggest freak of them all, of like, you can't teach what he is. But it's like, if I have court possession, he has the ball, I don't think I'm as scared of him as I am the other three.
I feel like, and maybe this is being hypocritical, because the Nuggets very well could lose their first round series, but I just feel like, even though he's putting up insane numbers, I feel like there's been a bit of a, we've solved Giannis to an extent. And maybe it's because his surrounding pieces aren't good enough, you know, and that's totally fair. But when I look at Jokic, and I just, anytime he has the ball, I feel like they're going to get a bucket if they want, whether it's from him and his crafty moves or his passing. And then you look at Luka too, and I mean, Luka, you watch some of his distribution, and when he can start getting hot from three, for sure. So, well, and then are we also, is it because he plays for a good team? Like, we just don't give Jason Tatum a ton of love, do we?
Tim, you just read my mind.
You know what I'm saying?
My immediate was like, Are we just going to ignore?
I mean, the dude averaged 27-9-6 was NBA Finals MVP a year ago, but his surrounding cast is really good. I mean, he's got Jaylen Brown. He's got, I know Drew Holiday's hurt right now, but he's got Drew Holiday. He's got Kristaps Porzingis. He's got Derek Gold Medal White. Like, you've got all these pieces, and he's a and he could defend too. Like, it is funny how I feel like Jason Tatum doesn't get the love that most superstars at his level probably should. So which I don't really understand why.
I think there are a couple things at play. Number one, I think there's kind of a, I don't know if gimmick is the right word, but like when you go and you see the shot charts of, and you look at Boston, like Boston is clearly like taking the theory of there's no such thing as the only shots you should take are dunks, layups, and threes. Like, they are taking that to the extreme, like almost to the same level that our boy down at Bama,
Nate Oates.
Nate Oates.
Like, they're taking that to the extreme. So there's kind of like a, is this a gimmick? Like, I'm not picking the right word, but do you get what I'm saying? Like, conceptually, like, there is kind of this idea of, is this real basketball? So there's that. There's also, well, he's surrounded by, you know, this incredible roster. It's almost like I think the most hypocritical thing we do in sports is like, if you can't do it on your own, we hold it against you. But then, like, you know, then if the guy plays for your team or a team you like, he's got no help. And then it's almost like, well, the great ones never, you know, the great ones do it on their own.
Well, it's like, yeah,
which is objectively untrue.
Well, yeah, no, it's the thing that LeBron people, or it's the thing that Jordan people used to use on LeBron. Like, yeah, he had to go and team up to get his people. I'm sorry, how many championships did MJ have without Scottie Pippen? Like, I mean, are we going to just act like that didn't happen? Like, yes, all great players need other great players. That's how you win a title. Like, there's this, like, this weird idea that, like, somehow Jordan was playing with plumbers, or, you know what I mean? Like, there's kind of that whole idea. But I think what it really boils down to is, like, I think, the simplest answer is, like, Jason Tatum's just not that exciting of a basketball player, despite being really good.
Yeah, he's going to make his fourth straight all-NBA first team. He's maybe going to win his second straight NBA title. And, yeah, we just – I don't know, maybe because he hasn't won an MVP yet. But, yeah, it is kind of funny that because they're just really, really good and they're – well put together by Stevens, and then it seems like they're well coached. It is funny that a guy like Jason Tatum is kind of just off to the side as a superstar when we think about, ooh, the rise of Ant, Jokic, best player in the world. And I'm not pushing back. I think Jokic is the best player in the world. I think he should win MVP this year, to be honest.
Well, the other thing I was thinking about this, because I know you got into the documentary more than I did. How much do you think what happened to him in being the sense that he played a position where there was a big crowd of the old superstars and it being their last ride? How much do you think, like, him being a backseat of the Olympic team impacts this?
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking that I don't know if it has a ton, but it is kind of telling, right? Because in 2008, the Redeem Team, obviously Kobe was the best player on that squad, but LeBron put up insane numbers. And the same went in 2012. And then in 2016, it was Kevin Durant. And it's like, huh. Jason Tatum at times kind of floated away, right? And, you know, there was folks that were upset about it. I don't know if it's fair to bring that up, but it's also something maybe it is worth bringing up, is that when push came to shove, right, Team USA, the best players were LeBron, KD, and Steph Curry.
No, I don't even, like, I think I think you and I are approaching this the right way. You and I are not sitting down, other than, like, I don't, like, I'll say the hottest take of this whole segment is I don't have the SGA gene. I think he's a great player, but I just don't. But you know what another problem I have with SGA? When he got to the Olympics, that Canadian team that was running their mouths, like, that was a no-show, a big no-show. But we're not trying to – you and I are taking a look at, like,
they
well,
did go – I think they went undefeated in group play, and they just ran into France, right? That was what happened?
No, I thought they went, like, 1-2.
No. France – I think France went 1-2, and then they lost to Canada. I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure Canada went undefeated in group play.
Yeah, and look there, up men's Olympics.
There was, I'm pulling it up now.
I think as well, real quick, to your point, Jeffrey.
Canada went 3-0 in group play, yeah.
And then they
lost in the quarters to France.
You know what I mean, though? Like, I don't view that as necessarily a bad thing. Like, their group is Australia, Greece, and Spain.
Yeah, they should roll.
I don't know. Like, I guess the thing is with Tatum, it's like, how much does him not winning Finals MVP? Like, for instance, it feels like we hold
Tatum won
his
Finals
not
MVP.
Winning. No, Brown did.
Brown won Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
No, Brown, I thought, won Finals MVP. I think he won both of them.
Is that right? Hold on.
I'm pretty sure.
Confirming.
Jaylen Brown. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Brown won.
Yeah, because they went back and forth. Remember the last quarter.